Again, it's CJLEnterprise.com. CJLEnterprise.com. You can call us at 816-359-7945. CJL Enterprise.
Stay tuned. You're listening to The Micro Effect.
Alright folks, welcome. Welcome to the Monday edition of The Story Behind the Story. You're here with Clint Richardson. True Out's going to be back on Wednesday for your listening pleasure. Today, we'll be joined by a very lovely lady named Vicki Davis. Vicki is the author and heavy researcher into Agenda 21. And again, Agenda 21 is a very, very important aspect of what's going on behind just about everything that you see nowadays, which is why I'm focusing so heavily on that. She is the author of a little website called Channeling Reality at channelingreality.com. It's in constant research and exposure of what's going on up here in Idaho, our little neighboring state here in Utah, and very, very important developments going on up there that really affect the rest of the country. Idaho, seemingly to me, seems to be one of the almost like a test state for what is to come in future areas around the country. Now, before we get into anything else, before we get into the real nitty-gritty about this, I wanted to just let you know where your taxpayer dollars are going. Because, you know, we spent about $80 billion in what government called the bailout of General Motors. And, of course, they took that money, and naturally they invested that money. Unfortunately, as with many instances in recent American history, those investments didn't quite go to the American industry or to help American companies like General Motors itself. Instead, what happened? Well, after that $80 billion taxpayer bailout, GM's research and development has pretty much moved or is in the process of moving to China. Recently, the 2011 Chevy or 2012 Chevy Malibu had its world premiere in China. Dan Akerson, who's the CEO of General Motors in 2011, stated, and I quote, that almost 7 out of every 10 automobiles, 7 out of 10 of our vehicles were made outside of the United States. That's 70%, folks, in case you missed that. He continues by saying that we have 11 joint ventures in China, one of those being with the Shanghai Automotive Industry Corporation, of course, a communist entity, which is just opens a whole other can of worms. We're involved in vehicle manufacture, sales, distribution, engineering, design, telematics, financing, and used cars. We operate 11 assembly plants in China, 4 powertrain plants in 8 cities across China, and 2,700 dealerships and sales outlets nationwide, being the nation of China. Now, you might be asking yourself, how the heck does this kind of thing happen? How does a company get nationalized and then move to China? How do the taxpayers go into $80 billion worth of debt, save a private company, which then becomes a government-owned corporation, which then goes to China? Today, to help figure this out is Vicki Davis. How are you, Vicki?
Hi, Clint. Boy, that was a great introduction, because that points out the what you could call the schizophrenia of our government policy. It's rather like a parasite that you feed, and as you're feeding it, it eats you.
Walter Burian says that it's like giving a 15-year-old carte blanche on his allowance check, like giving a 15-year-old a blank check for his allowance, and you know what's going to happen. Case.
Well, yes, that's true too. Exactly so.
A parasite that's going to eat you. That's a very good analogy. I feel a bit eaten lately. How about you?
I've been devoured. I'm in shreds.
Well, so what's going on with this? Why is this happening? Why this? Obviously, when the concept of bailing out a car company, a private corporation, private banks, all that, the real concept was, well, the American people are going to invest their money in America. I mean, that's, we're doing this to help GM come out and come on top as an American company. Why is it then that's going to China? All this is going to China when, I mean, keep in mind that our police cars now, when I look around at our unified police department here in Utah, we see a bunch of Chevy, what are they? Chevy, are they Dodge Chargers or Chevy Chargers? I can't remember. They're these real souped up monster cars, apparently coming from China.
Yeah. Well, the simple answer, the obvious answer is globalization, but that really doesn't tell you anything. Which is why I've done the research that I have, so that I can, get down into the root, because you can never solve a problem. You can never understand the problem unless you go back to the point where it started. See where you started going wrong, and then you can follow it forward. And so that's what I've tried to do, and I've documented it on my website. Unfortunately, it's not really in chronological order. It's in the order that I've researched things as I've encountered them and as my understanding increased.
I certainly understand that. We're in the same boat there.
So, but it does have to do with the economic policies of the United States that I attribute to beginning really during the Reagan administration. And privatization, but it actually goes back even before that. And I don't know, maybe you could even go back to World War II, but we've always thought in this country that we didn't have central planning of the economy, but that really is wrong. We actually have had central planning of the economy probably since World War II. When they had to do planning for the war effort.
Well, and it's also important to note, we didn't get into this on Wednesday, but I wanted to get into the fact that Germany really never, it hasn't really been Germany. We always talk about Germany's wonderful engineering feats and how the best, the best stuff comes out of Germany. Yet Germany has been an occupied country since World War II. Amazingly, and is controlled right now by the FRG. And I find that it's a very difficult thing to grasp, considering my own heritage, but the fact that we still say that things are coming out of Germany, that those engineers over there are, it's a very German thing. There is no Germany, unfortunately, and that's a very sad fact. It looks like I lost the connection to Vicky, unfortunately, so she's not going to be able to answer that. Maybe I can get the board to call her back. That would be great.
Are you
Vicky,
there?
Do we have you back? Did you press the wrong button?
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Forgive you. I was just saying that Germany has been basically an occupied country, and now it's run by the FRG, and we still say that things come out of Germany, and there's really no Germany per se left. It's all been basically globalized, nationalized, whatever you want to call it.
That's true, and as part of the post-war plans, the idea of unifying Europe were hatched, you know, by the big three, the Stalin, FDR, and Churchill. And but they knew they couldn't really unify Europe with all of Germany's territory, so they ended up dividing Germany in half all throughout the 1950s and 60s. They worked on creating the, quote, common market. And then in, I think it was 1975, is when they started towards reunifying Europe, or Germany. And they also started with the United States at the same time. In the Helsinki, I think it was the Helsinki Final Act, they started laying out the plans that would ultimately lead to the North American Common Market, or they wanted to call it community, but actually it's the same strategic plan as for Europe.
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, this is basically the birth of the European Union. Some interesting developments with the European Union, by the way. I was reading an article just the other day. Now, you know, if I were to want to, I could probably make some money off of such things as this. It's just against my, I don't know if you call it a religion or if you call it a belief system or whatever, but right now, some of the major market players over everywhere, because it is a global thing right now. I can be on my computer right now and be trading in any country at this point. So what's happening, though, is there's a lot of derivatives bets, a lot of short bets against the European Euro, European Union, excuse me, and the Euro. In other words, some of the major players, apparently, are starting to bet against the survival rate of the European Union. In other words, they believe that it's going to tank, not necessarily collapse, but tank enough to where the euro will be less valuable in each of the individual countries, meaning that they will get massive returns on what I can only call a gambling bet against a currency or against the union. And I find that to be very disturbing, which is why I don't invest in anything. I refuse to be a part of this stupid gambling casino called the stock market, and especially the derivatives market. But I'm finding that I'm a little frightened by this, not for the usual reasons, because I actually think that they're going to come in with the solution, because nothing happens without a solution. You never let a good crisis go to waste, as they say. And so I'm afraid that they're going to come in with all of their gold that they've been propping up the price of, prop it up a little more, and then turn their gold into the, you know, when I say their gold, I mean the 90% of people who, you know, elite people in governments who own gold. And that's going to become the gold-backed currency is going to save us all. And of course, then in another decade or two, they're probably going to crash the price of gold and do the same thing all over again. So I'm just a little concerned with what I'm seeing in the trends as far as derivatives trading and these bets that they're making with futures, because that really is a good sign of what's to come. So I don't know. It's a
well,
like I said, it's a frightening thing.
Yeah. We have to separate out the information that we have, that we're getting, with what appears to be really the global strategic plan, because the big money is actually executing what I would say is the global plan. And ultimately, I think the idea is to have a single global currency. So everything that's occurring now is just game playing. And the way that it seems to work is that they focus on one country for a while, and they do, you know, like as much damage as they can do without collapsing everything or without having the people revolt. And then they move to another country and work on that one for a while. And it just seems to be like a circular kind of thing, you know, where they go around wherever there are pots of money where they can, you know, do their business.
I think it's very similar to, you know, there was a point in history when the queens and kings sort of went underground and the old world order became the new world order. It's and we're still fearful of the new world order. And at this point, it's kind of the same thing. The new world order is now becoming the global whatever you want to call it at this point. We're seeing the purposeful collapse, just like you saw sort of the purposeful but fake collapse of the old system, the old monarchies and stuff. You're seeing the purposeful but controlled collapse of such things as the European Union, such things as the Federal Reserve. We need to get rid of these things in order to set aside any obstacles to having a global structure. And so you really have to get rid of the Federal Reserve to do that, because it's the central bank of the country. You're going to have to replace that with something that is not just central, but central in a global structure, which will be probably the something like bank. And so we're definitely in a situation of transition, and the concept that the collapse that's happening of specific things is, you know, we have to remember that for the most part everything that happens is very, very planned out, and that is where Agenda 21 and United Nations treaties and everything else comes into play.
That you're absolutely correct. And most people don't understand that, actually, that the globalists have to get rid of the Fed in order to have the global central banking. And because really the idea of globalization is to collapse nation states. And so in the United States, what we are fighting is all of their plans that are step by step to eliminate the nation state. And that's what I mean, you know, about the parasite. Because some things that we campaign against, or not we, but people campaign against, like the Fed, if you get rid of the Fed, you're actually helping the globalists to destroy our country.
You know, it's so funny, because I've been parroting that for so long now, and everybody just poo-poos it, because the Fed has to be the villain. It's like blame the Fed for everything. Blame the, you know, this one family who may own the Fed for everything. And yet here we are, in the middle of this, basically what I call a propaganda campaign to end the Fed, which, you know, it, for all intents and purposes, is great. You know, you can end the Fed. That's wonderful. But here you got a bunch of people holding up signs. And I used to be one of them. This is, again, everything I talk about, I can criticize, because I used to be one of these people who didn't understand, Lenin called them useful innocents, useful idiots. And I was one of them until I kind of started looking into this stuff. And you figure that, you know, you're holding up a sign to end the Fed. You want to end the Fed. It's all you care about is end the Fed, end the Fed. Don't look at anything else. Just end the Fed. The Fed is the root of all issues, even though Exchange Stabilization Fund is really much more powerful than the Fed. Even though every dollar that's produced from the treasury, from the mint, you know, they skim 50 cents for every dollar off of that. And, you know, there's all these other aspects. Every dollar that's spent or created comes back to government in taxation. Triple, you know, so you start looking at this thing and you realize, well, wait a minute, how do you end the Fed? The Fed is responsible for the money in this country, the inflation, deflation. If you suddenly ended this thing, you'd have pandemonium, you'd have chaos in the whole system. So, yeah, end the Fed is a good thing, but not, and I repeat, not without a very, very, very good replacement. I mean, one that is practically in place before you end the Fed. If you end the Fed, man, you're just inviting the global bank, the global elite, to come in and completely globalize the system. Yeah, there's a replacement, all right, but it's not the one that we'd want. If we end the Fed without thinking about it, without having something ready to replace it, we are ruined. We've invited the global society in, and we are, at that point, we are gone. Because we've gone from a tyrannical national currency to a tyrannical global currency, and we would be responsible for it because we got fooled by the propaganda.
That's correct. If we didn't have a Federal Reserve, a central bank, we'd have to invent one. So you can't get rid of something old until you get something new. And I would never argue that there isn't corruption in our banking system. There is corruption across the board in our government, in our corporations, in our institutions. This country, because of this transition to a globalized economy with the objective being to collapse the nation state, we are just one massive bit of corruption.
Yeah, and I always like to remind people that, you know, your government is a bunch of you. It's a bunch of we. It's a bunch of us. It's a bunch of people. Okay, government is not some separate thing that, forces your hand to participate in the banking structure. It's not something that forces you, the people, to do anything. The ultimate responsibility for this is with us. It is with each of us individually. And when someone gets into government, when someone gets into the companies like Enron and starts doing these trades and starts making a profit and starts building this power base of government investments, this is completely based on opportunity and, more importantly, on greed, because the opportunity is there. All you, the people, have to do is fool your way into becoming a politician. You got people like Sheriff Mack, you got people like all these people who are running for office, and I just know why a lot of people are doing it. They want the pension. They want the benefits. They want the tax-exempt expense account in the millions of dollars. And they want the power to be in charge of some of these investment funds. I mean, we had Dick LaRosa on Thursday. He said, yeah, one of our ex-congressmen in in New Jersey, he said, yeah, you know, while I was in there, I used some of those funds to buy a condo building in, I can't remember what country. And that's my bread and butter now that I'm out of the, Congress, you know, I own that building. That's my, you know, that's what I used my tax exempt expense account for. That's what I used those funds for. So this is a greed and opportunity for people. Okay, government is people, and I guess that's what I really want to get across to people, and that's why people like myself, people like you, are constantly trying to tell people, look, I know you're not supposed to talk about politics, I know you're not supposed to talk about religion, I know you're not supposed to talk about these things, but who made that rule? Who came up with that? Who came up with the concept that you're supposed to be ignorant of politics? Well, who do you think? Who do you think came up with that rule that it's impolite to talk about these things? You know, we, the people, have to get active in politics, or the people who are not really part of we, the people who just see greed and opportunity, are going to continue to rule us. So we really need to start paying attention as a people, as good people, as farmers, as teachers, as people who are not vested in the system we represent.
Yeah, well, you know, those people are like vultures on a dying carcass. And our country, what it was, and it truly was a great country, it is like a dying carcass. And all of those people are vultures, you know, swooping in to pick it apart. And so the part that I've chosen for myself is really to try to explain how we started on this road, what's happening, so that we can turn it around and bring our country back to health, back to a country that we could be proud of, and have all of the criminals thrown in jail. Because the system that we're in now, it's a fascist system, and it's going to take everybody down. I mean, you know, fascism as it grows it consumes everything. And well, so you might have a little money now, but you won't have, you know.
It's going to take people down in an incremental way, which it already has been for quite some time, but it's not going to take everybody down to the bottom of the barrel. It's going to get so bad that you're going to say one more thing and I'm going to revolt, or one more time they take more taxes, I'm going to say no. But it's never going to get to the point really where you're starving and the only thing you can do is revolt. So there's going, you know, to say that it's going to crash, no, it's not going to crash. It's going to be a situation where people are on the verge of revolt, but it's just not enough to do it. And they're going to be fluorided up and vaccined up and, you know. So that's the sad part, is that you're watching it happen, watching the grass grow, this incrementalism that's taking over, and people just aren't ever going to get angry enough because it's a slow kill. It's a slow impoverishment. It's a slow takeover of everything. And that is the worst part about it. You almost want them to just get to the end game right away, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, because then that would cause people to revolt. But you're right, this slow incrementalism, it's kind of like, you know, putting on the gas and then putting on the brake, putting on the gas, putting on the brake. It doesn't seem to be enough to get Americans off the couch and doing something. So,
yes,
except for the very few who will actually do that.
It's sad. Well, we're gonna go into a break here in just a little tiny bit. But when we get back, I want to talk about something called ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. You know, there's all these non-governmental organizations. There's all these, you know, so-called not-for-profit organizations and associations that are literally have become our government. And that we vote for people, sure, but really all the decisions that are being made are coming from these councils and these associations. And really, but it's basically a delegation of authority from the people that we elect down through to these councils, to these associations, to these things that have nothing to do with the voting process or the legislative process. They are, well, I don't know what you'd call them, think tanks with delegative authority. It's a very bizarre thing that we've gotten into. We're going to talk about that when we return from the break. Vicky, do I have that correct? Your website is channelingreality.com?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. That's correct.
I highly recommend going. I mean, I get emails. I'm on Vicky's email list, and she sends lots of stuff out that it's just a mind screw every time it comes out. I mean, unfortunately, I'm like, send no more, Vicky. Anyway, we're going to be right back. Tomorrow break. We gotta pay some bills. Thanks for joining us today. And again, tomorrow I'm gonna have Bert from Colorado with a very good conversation about legal versus lawful and other things. Don't wanna miss that. We'll be right back.
Have normal blood pressure.
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Regardless of the dollar price involved, 1 ounce of gold would purchase a good quality man's suit at the conclusion of the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the presidency of Franklin Roosevelt, and today. You may not be in the market for a new suit, but you don't know what the future may bring. And gold is the one financial constant the world has ever known. It can always provide you with your basic needs. Whether you're looking for junk silver, old silver dollar rolls, gold bullion, or fractional tradable gold pieces, Kettle Moraine is your full-service representative with over 50 years of knowledge and personal experience. Visit FlyingEagleGold.com or call us at 623-327-1778 today for competitive prices on all your gold or silver needs. If you're looking for real financial insurance, call Kettle Moraine today at 623-327-1778. That's Kettle Moraine, 623-327-1778.
The people who had the spirit of Antichrist, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, naturally. And the world heareth them because it recognizes its own language. But we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us.
These are the words of 20th century prophet A.W. Tozer. He is the author of over 40 books that you aren't likely to find at your local Christian bookseller. So where can you go to find such inspiration? Introducing Cornerstone Books, with the largest selection available of the writings of A.W. Tozer, Amy Carmichael, Richard Wurmbrand, and countless others. Cornerstone Books makes the truth available worldwide with the detail and personality of a local bookseller. Visit the website at www.cornerstone-unlimited.com for a complete inventory of its authors, as well as audio files and much, much more. That's www.cornerstone-unlimited.com, or you can call toll free at 888-239-9890. That's 888-239-9890.
To imagine when things are going reasonably well, just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Hello and welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you are depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you are dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
Serving the planet, the Micro Effect. www.themicroeffect.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the story behind the story. I'm Flint Richardson, and again with me today is Vicki Davis, channelingreality.com, wonderful site for all that's happening with your globalism and Agenda 21. It's just a fantastic read. I wanted to talk to you about this whole concept of the delegation of authority to these private associations. You know, some examples of these private associations are the Bar Association, the association that represents all of the attorneys, the very association who decides due process of law. For instance, if your property is going to be eminent domain, well, guess what? It's through due process, and that due process decides what just compensation is. Well, the Bar Association is just that, an association, a private corporation that represents attorneys, like a union, basically, that represents its employees. So we have all these other things. one of those is called ALEC. Why don't you tell us a little bit about ALEC?
Well, ALEC is a nonprofit. ALEC stands for the American Legislative Exchange Council. It is primarily sponsored by, it's really a front for the Koch brothers. And even though they have lots of members that are state legislators, it's really corporations that provide the funding for ALEC. They write model legislation for their wholly owned state legislators to bring back to their states to pass, to put into law. I have this great description on the justice.org website. It says, and I'm going to read it. It's pretty short. Okay. They're ghostwriting the law for corporate America.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, it is. It's really, the Koch brothers, big tobacco, insurance companies, and the drug industry, all behind the shadowy corporate front group known as American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC. On the surface, ALEC is mostly comprised of thousands of state legislators, each paying a nominal fee to attend ALEC retreats and receive model legislation. In reality, corporations pay ALEC a king's ransom to access legislators to distribute radical legislation that puts corporate interests over American workers and consumers. And I know that's true because when I first discovered ALEC, their website was quite open. Now it's members only to really look at the model legislation. But I went there because I picked up a clue somewhere that a piece of legislation that was in the Idaho legislature having to do with massively increasing the fine for first-time drunk drivers was ALEC model legislation. So I went to their website, and there, sure enough, was the model legislation. And to the left of it was an advertisement for American bail bonds. Okay, so you don't have to be, you know, a real genius to figure that one out. Every time a fine or a fee goes up, a fine, you know, for some kind of criminal activity, American bail bonds income goes up.
Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Especially since that is also a for-profit industry, and we've gone over that several times. I see here, I don't know how old this particular document is, but it's from the ALEC. It's a PR document, public relations document, called ALEC 101. And it says, founded in 1973, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So it's not a government organization, just remember that. And it says that it brings state lawmakers and business people together. Both have a voice and a vote in shaping policy. 2,000 state lawmakers from all 50 states, policy shared with all 50 states, and 300 corporate and foundation members. And this is all happening outside of government halls. And in fact, in ALEC's own words, it states that corporations have a voice and a vote on specific changes to the law that are then proposed in your state. Well, wait a minute. I don't really have a voice for that. I mean, my person that I elect to make those laws and change those laws has a voice, but they're sitting on the ALEC committee. They're sitting on the council that meets with all these corporations, and they decide what's going to be my law and the law that affects those corporations, of course. And this is very scary.
It is very scary, and I didn't know that it goes back to 1973, but that makes sense because that was around the time when in California, something that I have on my website is, what did I call that? The collapsing local government. And
I'm sorry, could you say what?
Yeah.
What did you just say?
Well, I know. I'm sorry. I kind of messed that up. But in California, during the night, let me back up and start it this way. In California in the 1950s, there was a massive housing boom, post-war boom. Well, what happened was that they built all of the suburbs. That was the birth of the suburbs. In 1970 or 67, whenever Reagan came into office as governor, he wanted to implement efficiencies in government. So in 1974, a report was published that was called the let me bring it up here so that I get this right. The Houlihan Plan, the politics of change in local government reform. And really, it was about consolidating local governments for greater efficiency. Because if you've got two or three little towns that are all kind of run together, it doesn't make sense for each one to have their own city government. At least from an engineering point of view, from an efficiency point of view, it doesn't make sense.
You know, one of the things that we've been discovering is, I believe it's the state of Massachusetts, if I'm not mistaken, has actually gotten rid of counties in their state. There are no longer counties in the state of Massachusetts. We were looking for their cap first because we wanted to see what the counties were doing as opposed to the cities. And suddenly we couldn't find any new comprehensive annual financial reports for the counties, and we wondered why. And so Walter finally found out that they actually have just morphed the counties into one big state government. That's probably has a lot to do with what we're talking about.
Oh, it does. Yes, it does. It's consolidation for efficiency combined with the idea of privatization. Okay, now, if you go back to the 1960s, what was going on in the 1960s was radicalization of youth. You know, the baby boomers hit near adulthood, the Vietnam War, civil rights riots, sex, drugs, rock and roll. Radicalism and intellectualism. And there were a couple of youth publications that took hold, and they're still with us today. And that would be Rolling Stone and Reason magazine. Okay. Reason is the Ayn Rand libertarian objectivist publication. And from what I have been reading, when you combined the philosophy of Ayn Rand with engineering, redesign of government, consolidation, they fit right together perfectly for what ends up being the ultimate strategy for elimination of the nation state.
Well, it's sort of like Ayn Rand without any checks and balances, without any protectivism against the concepts that she espouses.
Well, she her idea was that at least as I understand it, I did read Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead, you know, when I was young. But most people interpret her writing as a warning against. I now understand it to be a strategy for how to.
Yeah.
And her philosophy was that individuals acting in their own self-interest, at least, you know, it's the Adam Smith kind of thing, but updated, individuals acting in their own best interest benefit everybody, Well, the fallacy in that is that people acting in their own self-interest, when you're talking about the public, what normally is the public sphere, what operates for everybody, people acting in their own self-interest act in their own self-interest. And they steal from, rob, and enslave the rest.
Well, you know, it could be. I mean, I will give a little bit of devil's advocate to the concept that could be a true statement if the media wasn't in place, if reality shows didn't teach us all to stab each other in the back, if the concept of you know, you're going to be better off if I help you help me, you know, that would, then it would be okay. But we don't have that, and that is too idealistic and too utopian to possibly ever work, considering the, you know, well, what's already happened, but besides that, just considering what some might call human nature, that there's always going to be someone that's wanting to get into that power structure and have more than everybody else. So it's just, it's not a possibility, again, without the checks and balances, without groups and people watching and saying, no, this can't happen.
Yeah, you have to have people that truly do have the public interest at heart. And that's the absolute opposite of libertarianism. You know, I can take care of myself. I don't need you. It is. You know, I can't even tell you. I've had arguments online with people about electricity, whether or not electricity is an essential service. You don't really need to have it. Well, you know, I beg to differ. In the winter here, you know, when it's 20 degrees, I kind of need my heat. Thank you very much.
You know, I could again play devil's advocate and say, well, wait a minute. You know, if I was representing the United Nations, and I were to say, but you're wrong, Vicky. I've come up with this wonderful, wonderful document called the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and specifically it states that the community, the collective, the people as one collective body are what is important. It means, you know, I've taken away that individualism, and I've simply stated that the collective will always take precedent over the individual. So how can you argue that you know, how can you argue against what we're talking about here today?
Well, okay. David Nolan, who was the founder of the Libertarian Party, he did this wonderful little chart. It's called the Nolan chart. Everybody can, you can go to Google Images and do a search and find this little chart. And it's a rectangle is divided in half, and you've got the liberal left and the conservative right square in the middle. And at the bottom, he has authoritarianism. At the top, he has libertarianism. But what they don't really tell people is that ordinary people cannot be free at the extremes of either side. On the bottom side, where you have the authoritarianism of the state, that's where I would put UN and their Declaration of Human Rights, and, you know, they're going to make sure that everything is distributed, and they're using the power. Authoritarianism uses the power of the state organization.
But it's for the good of the community, Vicky.
Right. Exactly. Okay, but on the top, where you've got libertarianism, where you have, you know, absolute economic liberty, absolute personal freedom, that's where you have the kingmakers and the a return to feudalism, where the average guy can no longer be free.
So you instead have a choice. You can be a bum, or you can be a millionaire. You can be anything you want to be. It's your choice. You can work hard and become something, or you can kind of just float along and never really. But the problem is, you can also become so powerful that you can then force your will on others.
it's too late for the average guy. The kings are Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, the Koch brothers. They are the ones that will have this absolute freedom. You and me and your children will be slaves in a feudal system. That is the deception of libertarianism. They sell the message of freedom, 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 but it really is not freedom for you and me. It's freedom for the Koch brothers. And you can see how it works just simply by looking at Alec.
I mean, wouldn't you say again, though, that it's libertarian, just like Ayn Rand, it's libertarianism that is unchecked. In other words, it's just allowed to go wherever it goes, as opposed to having some, you know, it's okay to have limited government. You still have to have those checks and balances in there that says, well, yes, we want individualism, but we don't want it so much that there's a king or there's a corporation that now has so much power that it might as well be king. I mean, there still has to be, and that's what you're saying, libertarian or true libertarianism is on the far, far, far end of the spectrum is not a good thing. But if we come in a little bit towards the authoritarianism, there is real no solution. That's the problem. There is no good government. There might be a necessary evil, or there might be, it's a really hard thing to put a, okay, that's it. We got it. That's the perfect government. Because there really isn't one, because it can never, you know, I guess it boils down to the fact that we could never really have a republic, because a republic means that everybody is represented.
Well, we can, but if you look at the Nolan chart, right where the center line goes through, there's a narrow band that people can be free. And, you know, we can move a little bit above the line, we can move a little bit below the line, but when we get out to the edges where you have either absolute libertarianism or absolute authoritarianism, regular people can no longer be free. So, but of course, in order to have a republic, number one, you need an educated population. You need people to understand history, so that when these bad things start happening, they recognize it and they can stop it. And you need integrity in government.
You basically need a noble, you need what used to be called statesmen.
Yes.
That don't really exist in today's political structure anymore. I just pulled up a website called Alec Exposed, alecexposed.org, and it's kind of interesting. It's got some stories on here. I'm just going to read a few of the headlines. Let's see. U.S. Supreme Court considers Alec immigration bill, which to me sounds like the Supreme Court is considering a bill written by Alec and not the Congress or the Senate. I find that to be a frightening headline. Alec leader admits last week's announcement was just a PR stunt. That's a very interesting one. How about Alec's vision of preempting EPA coal ash regulations passes the House? Again, wait, it doesn't say Congress vision or, you know, Senate's or even the President's. It says Alec's vision of preempting EPA regulations. What's going on here? This is very, very strange. This sounds like the government isn't doing a darn thing, because it's actually the House of Representatives that are passing a private counsel's image of what law should be.
Well, and they are. And, okay, now let me go back to California for a second, this politics of change. In the 1970s, in California, when they started doing this, that was also at the same time computers and computer systems were starting to be installed everywhere, okay? Businesses started developing applications for their businesses to make them more efficient. Governments were designing and writing systems for their processes. Well, a guy named Robert Poole, who was the he wasn't the founder of Reason Magazine, but he bought it very early on from a guy named Lanny Friedlander. And the early Reason Magazine was all about libertarianism. Well, Robert Poole was also a systems engineer. Okay.
Well, and, as were you were also in this field, correct?
Yes, I was. Yes. Well, I was not a systems engineer, but I was
analyst.
A programmer. Yes, and I got started in my career in Silicon Valley. Okay, but Robert Poole worked for a company called General Research Corp, which was a spinoff from ARPA. And he actually worked with local governments on implementing systems, making their systems efficient. So that's where you have the blending of the two, the Ayn Rand's philosophy and systems engineering, and they go together perfectly in that when you're marketing, doing a system for government or for anybody, you're selling the idea of efficiency, and when you design a system, your objective is collectivization, number one, for the purpose of an efficient process, seamless process. And so this guy, Robert Poole, in 1980, he published a book called Cutting Back City Hall. And that was probably the first book on the reinvention of government.
What was that called again?
Cutting Back City Hall.
My goodness. This is crazy stuff. I got to tell you, hey, we're going to be right back. And we might even play a little bit of Jeopardy today. America's favorite game, America in Jeopardy. We'll be back with the story behind the story. Stay tuned.
I don't need to tell you that the world is headed down the wrong path. A path to serfdom and slavery. But I doubt that you fully understand how bad it might get for you. Our once wonderful government has been hijacked by gutless globalists that are committed to a world government where everything is under their control. Every person will be cataloged, tracked, stamped, and microchipped. And they fully expect most to go quietly into this slaughterhouse like a mindless cow. They have captured all the key positions of power and control, most of what people think and do. The Walking Dead. We will have a revolution at some point. Even they know this. But only those of us that are fully prepared to protect and feed ourselves and our families long term will ever see the end of this evil time. Right now, most every bite of food you take is vile, manipulated, crossbred, inbred, unnatural, and lacks any nutrition. The answer is to start growing your own healthy heirloom vegetable garden. I built the first bulk heirloom seed company exclusively for patriots like you. Now a lot of copycats have followed me. Pretenders and slick marketing companies. But nobody on earth can match my offer to you. 50 varieties of heirloom vegetables. Over 10,000 nutritious seeds that will produce an unlimited supply of food for you and your family.